My name is Jalila Arthur, and I'm joined in the studio by Sofia Martinez. Hello, thank you for joining me.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. It seems like we were overdue for an introduction. We're both from northern New Mexico. I understand you started out there in Wagon Mound and your work too with Los Jardines.
I'm originally from the Wagon Mound area. My family has been there for many generations. We have a family land 10 miles up from the confluence of the Canadian River and the Moro River. So my family was down in the Moro River a mile and down in the canyon until about 1945 when they came out to electricity and cars and stuff. So we've always been in the area. I moved to Albuquerque to go to UNM and then ended up back in my community later on and then back to Albuquerque. So I've been always back and forth. I love my family's land. The land that we have has been in our family for several generations, and I really believe that there's a love of land and of the homeland that is probably as deep a love and an attachment to any human being that you can have. And that's definitely the way I feel about our land in northern New Mexico. So I think that at times it's necessary to fight for your homeland.
Yeah.
So I think that's one guiding principle that I hold very dear to my heart. I know that I would feel the death of something in my spirit if somehow the land that I've grown up with was ripped away from us in some way. When we talk about decolonizing nature.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
How do you go about doing that? You know what I'm saying? Because, well, I come from being involved in the environmental justice movement as it grew.
With media also.
I've been doing radio for many years and women's radio. And basically what I consider media activism, really using the radio or whatever mediums we can, editorials, et cetera, to push our agendas forward, and especially the perspectives of land-based indigenous people of color, because the mantra of the environmental justice is we speak for ourselves. We don't need anybody speaking for us, because colonization, I guess, implies hegemony and colonization. So then it seems to me that those that are colonized should be the ones really looking at that, not, again, those of privilege. We have shown the ugliness of racism in this country and where we're really at. And so I think there's a lot of work to be done, and I think we need to do it differently nowadays. Again, going back to the environmental justice movement, in the early 80s, when it was launched nationally, really challenged the idea of conservationism. Mm-hmm. Conservationism to us is not recreation, conservation, and preservation. To us, the environment is where we live, where we work, where we play, where we pray, and where we go to school. It is all around us. And we need to preserve it for, as indigenous people believe, for seven generations beyond us. In this day and time, we really need to deconstruct ourselves, deconstruct our motives. You know, we need to start dealing with the issues that are real hard for us to deal with. We need to go back to talking about all the isms, racism, classism, because there's serious issues there. If we're talking about LGBTQ, we can't be worried about being called homophobic or the elite attitude of academics, right?
Yeah.
Because knowledge doesn't reside in the institution. It resides everywhere. And when we begin to privilege just the artistic, the scientific, the educated, we're missing the majority of the population, and we are complicit then in oppression and colonization and everything else. So when we talk about decolonizing, we better make sure that we have people of color, poor, marginalized people of color right along with us, not behind us, but with us. Because my position is, if you come to New Mexico, whether it be to Wagon Mountain, the South Valley, Mountain View, wherever it is, if you come to help us and work side by side with us to improve something, then we got something going. If you're here to protect us, to speak for us, to do for us, then you keep on going, okay? Because we don't need that here.
No,
Es mi casa, okay? We have to change our our sayings. Mi casa no es tu casa. They took it literally when we had that saying. I don't say that anymore. Mi casa es mi casa.
So you're going to be speaking in the Decolonizing Nature Conference. The themes of that are resilience, resistance, and revitalization. And you're saying let's be careful about what we revitalize. It has to question itself.
Yep. And we got plenty of issues just here in Albuquerque where we're talking about the art, the new urbanism. It can be a mistake that the new urbanism has an ism in it. And yeah. I really think that we need to look at those issues here in Albuquerque.
You talked about the panel that you'll be speaking on, sustainable communities. You're speaking with William McDonough and Kyle Powles White. So how do you feel about the panel that you're on?
In terms of sustainability, I was thinking again about my hometown, because when we started our garden, the initiative was called A La Moda Pobre, the poor way. You know, you Google stuff and all of a sudden you have to buy this, you have to buy that, you have to this. And I was like, oh, no. Resiliency, okay?
Oh, my gosh,
first
right?
of all, there's nothing about gardening that you need tools for. If
no.
worse comes to worse, you can do it with the stick or whatever, you know? And then the second year, we started putting in the 3-foot garden beds and the soaker hose and transitioned into that. And of course, that helped us save water. And so, you know, it's just been a really beautiful project for me. I think the kids have really enjoyed it. And we have a few more tools. We have a few more things that we buy. So it's not necessarily a moda pobre the way we started. But, you know, we still try to keep the cost down. But we don't even have a timer on our irrigation system, because once you put a timer in, well, nobody has to come and, you know, turn the hose on. And that creates community.
I think that it's really important that on this panel on sustainable communities, that we represent our community right here.
If you're going to have a conference on decolonizing and talk about environmental justice, then the seminal documents, the seminal practices and ethics of that movement have to be practiced. And that's what they are, is pushing out the boundaries of what environmentalism has been up to this point. The idea of we speak for ourselves, which is very much about agency. And again, what you're talking about in terms of getting different perspectives, worldviews, and experiences together. Myself and Richard Moore, the other co-founder of Los Jardines Institute, we've been involved in the environmental justice movement since its very beginnings. And again, the mantra, the expansion of environmentalism, as well as the ethics of the movement, which were written down in the principles of environmental justice, which came out of the first People of Color Leadership Summit that launched the environmental justice movement. And the principles of environmental justice, to me, are the ethics of the environmental justice movement. It's a document that has no one author. It was pretty much put together in night meetings and writings throughout the day at that first People of Color Leadership Summit. And it represents a multicultural, multi-class, multi-experience document that belongs to no one, but it definitely represents grassroots people of color, indigenous, farm workers, et cetera, as well as academics. When the first People of Color Leadership Summit was held, there wasn't a single article or book with the words environmental justice or environmental racism in them, okay? Since that People of Color Summit, there are hundreds of thousands of articles on environmental justice. And I think that many times, you know, it's different disciplines have really kind of taken those concepts and move forward on them, right? In the health, it's all the things that impact your health that people don't talk about. In the women's field, a lot of bodies, you know, it has become a discussion of bodies and earth bodies and women's bodies. And I think that all of those are good things, because when you develop a movement, the movement disperses and has new evolutions and new themes. But at the same time, I think, as, you know, being here at the University of New Mexico, in any discipline, one has, when we begin to study it, one has a responsibility to look at the seminal documents and the origins of that history. And I find that many times, of the hundreds of thousands of articles that are out there nowadays, very few people go back and really look at what really was the history of this movement, who are the seminal documents, because it's not just about bodies and landscape, it's about people.
Yeah.
And deconstructing is a big word in the last several years, right? And I think we all need to be into deconstruction, being critical, those kinds of things. But decolonizing, I think, is a little bit of an issue that brings us back to really reflecting, okay,
yeah.
Those that are colonized have to decolonize themselves. And so we have to be real careful how we dialogue and how we interact as we go forward in this time. I think it's going to demand more reflection on our part, more questioning of our own agendas, and a real struggle with individualism that has become pretty much entrenched in a lot of ways because of the, you know, again, the age of globalization, technocracy, and technocrats, and those phones.
And mi casa es mi casa.
Claro.
That's great. I am looking forward to your dialogue at the Decolonizing Nature Conference.
Thank you.
And thank you for
my
coming.
My norteña sister.
Sí, claro que sí.